We met Ezekiel last week and we saw God in a visionary dream. Or maybe Ezekiel might have called it a nightmare. He was 25 years old when he was exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon in 598 BC along with 20,000 other Jews. 5 years later, Ezekiel was called into ministry. Ezekiel's name means strengthened by God, and there'd be little doubt with the visions that he had to put up with for 20 years in his faithful ministry that strengthened him and the exiles that were in Babylon. He had visions and prophecies one after another throughout the many, many chapters of the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at one of the visions today. It's called The Vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. It's a very famous passage of Scripture. In fact, there's a gospel hymn called Dry Bones. We're going to sing it next week. Oh, good. I didn't know that. Thank you, Tom. The God showed Ezekiel as a dead nation. He promises this dead nation that a day will come when they will be raised up again, and he'll use them for his glory. Now, you look at our country, our nation. Is our nation dead? I believe that our nation, in a slow, incipient way, is dying to the word of God. If it's not dead, maybe it has a terminal illness. Perhaps God will speak soon to our nation and wake it up and grab it like with a vision like he did with Ezekiel. When Ezekiel got this vision, he found himself in a desert valley surrounded by the bones of the dead. Everywhere he looked, there were piles of dead bones. And he was commanded by God to preach to them. This is a very interesting concept. Some pastors preach to dead congregations. I don't. We are far from dead. We are a live, vibrant congregation that I really have never seen before in my life. So Ezekiel was commanded to pray over those dead bones. How crazy was that? How crazy was that to pray over dead bones? And when he obeyed God's word, he saw these dead bones and dead bodies being brought back to life. He says Ezekiel connected those dry bones. That's what that song is we're going to do next week. Ezekiel was surrounded by the spiritually dead. Those dry bones was illustrative of those dry bones. Everywhere we look in our society and in the world, we see the spiritual death that dominates our world. And we continue with the same pattern. We are better at waging war than in loving our poor. That's why our church has been so adamant and outreaching to the poor and giving as much as we can to the poor. A very big portion of our income goes to the poor, more than a tithe, which is wonderful. From here, when where Ezekiel stood, he said, how could this be? What can I do? Just a pile of dead bones. What's going to come of that? We look at our resources and sometimes we say, just a pile of dead bones. What's going to come of that? Yet he obeyed God and the Lord blessed his efforts. It seems like an impossible task to reach the dead, the spiritually dead. They just won't listen. Isn't that true? When you talk to somebody who is spiritually dead, they will not listen. Well, the sermon title this morning is Mission Impossible, Reaching Out to the Dead. I want to talk about some truths. The first one is a shocking revelation. If we're going to sense the great need of the world around us to hear the gospel, we must have a clear grasp of the condition in which the world finds itself. Ezekiel saw this condition, and he said there was desolation, destitution, and the devastation of Israel. We will not be stirred into action until we see a vision, until we really grasp the need to really do something. It's the same vision we need today, to look out over the lost, dead, spiritually dry world, and to give it life. You'll see how God did it with Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw death. So many bones in one place. It must have been a great battle. It must have broken his heart. And one of the worst things that could happen to a Jew in those days was not to have a proper burial. They were not honored without a proper burial. Defeated by the enemies, the Israelites were left to die and rot where they were. Ezekiel saw the vision of death on a massive scale. What do you see in your world around you? Although people around you may be living their lives seemingly happy, enjoying their hobbies, raising families. They may be charming, intellectual, reasonable, and apparently fit. But if they don't know Jesus Christ, the most important part of their life, they are spiritually unfit, spiritually dead. This can be true of your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, your neighbors, co-workers, people that you know. They may be full of life on the outside, but on the inside, they're like the dead bones. We should pray, which we do, or as a congregation, to ask God to open our eyes, to help us see the world around us as it really is. It's really difficult. Ezekiel saw devastation. The bones that Ezekiel saw were very, very dry. They had been on the valley floor, drying out in the desert, in the merciless heat of the desert sun. In the dry condition, they were fit for nothing but to be gathered and to be buried until the scavengers came and got them. They were absolutely useless in the state in which they were until God touched them. We need to recognize that this is the very condition of the lost who live around us. In Romans 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "They were all turned aside. They were all together become unprofitable. There is none that is good. No, not one." The word unprofitable means to be useless. So many people in this world are useless for the hand of God. The lost sinner is useless to God because the lost sinner has turned his back on God and walked away from him. God can't use him without him turning to God. Unless God does something with maybe a vision like Ezekiel, to grab him and get his attention. Look at the family that's ruined by drugs and alcohol. They need someone to tell them about a way out. Well, the family destroyed by sexual sin. They need someone to tell them a better way. Look at the family that seems so happy on the outside, yet they don't believe. They need someone to point them to Jesus so their insides can be filled up and be as happy as the outside. Until we understand where they are, we will not be moved to reach them with the gospel. Ezekiel saw defeat and said, "Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost." Israel was defeated. No hope. The army was killed. They were not living. They were existing. Ezekiel was among those in captivity, reaching out to the Israelites, the nation. The Bible describes the lost around us as having no hope and without God in this world. The hopelessness of the world is easy to see, isn't it? The restlessness of the nations, the upheaval of culture, the changing of mores that we thought were basic things back 30, 40, 50 years ago have now changed. The horrible condition of the world's economy, what's going to happen to that? And the constant threat of war, things are breaking out all over the place. Look what happened in Paris, a terrible situation in Paris. All speak to the fact that people feel hopeless. Where there's peace in the heart, there's rest in the life. When peace is missing, then hopelessness reigns. When you don't have peace inside of you, how do you feel when you don't have peace inside of you? Restless, you're wary, you're very much on edge. Well, Ezekiel saw a solemn responsibility. God spoke to Ezekiel and he said, "Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach to those bones, the valley of dead, dry bones." Well, maybe God's going to tell us. Maybe we think of somebody in our life as like a pile of dead bones because they have no life in them. They don't believe in Christ as their Savior. He commanded Ezekiel to preach. He said, "Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Ezekiel was commanded to preach to a valley filled with skeletons. How foolish or ridiculous would that be, to preach to a bunch of dry bones? Well, son of man, can these bones live? That's what God said to Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, "Oh Lord God, you know they can." You can hear the kind of hesitation. "Oh Lord, yeah, I think you can. Yeah, maybe. So we'll see what you can do." He was overwhelmed by the death and the devastation in that valley that he saw. Very difficult to confront the world with the gospel because so many people their hearts are like dry, dead bones. Yet it's a clear obligation of the church. God has not promised to bless our theological systems, our superficial interpretations, our buildings, our denominations, or our theology. He has committed ourselves to bless the preaching of the unadulterated Word of God. That's the main thing that we have to do, not only here, but also in your life. Your life is a preaching of the gospel of God. Only through such preaching, as it says in Ezekiel 37:7, there'll be a noise, a shaking, bones coming together, bone to bone. For as it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does the Lord, what does this lost world need? What does people that you know that need? They don't need to hear about churches or denominations, or they don't have to hear about preachers or opinions. They need to hear the gospel of grace. They need to hear that Jesus died on the cross for our sins to save sinners. They need to hear that he rose again from the dead and that all who are saved will come to him and be with him forever. This life is so short, isn't it? So many of us are going through situations that we know could end our life in a short period of time. We, in the last 9 days, Betty and I have been to 3 memorial services. And these are people that have been close to us, and we really understand, and they're their loss. Just terrible. But these people, we know that we're with God, and they're going to be with God forever. That is a life eternal that is so important. Ezekiel was commanded to pray. He said, breathe upon these slain, and they may live. There was no breath of them. The bones just came together and skin came over them. But until God breathed into their life, there was nothing. In the first century, the apostles really didn't do anything for a while until the Holy Spirit came upon them. It says in Acts 2:2, a sound from heaven as a rushing wind. And the apostles were vitalized and sent out by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's method of bringing purpose to the gospel to fulfillment. We need to pray with divine fervency. We need to preach with divine urgency so that everybody can hear and understand what we're talking about. The world of lifeless, useless, and hopeless men like those bones will never be changed until the Holy Spirit breathes upon us and preaches into us as the Holy Spirit of God. Well, we have to pray that the teachers and the preachers and the witnesses in our congregations throughout the world to go out and touch people and change those bones into living, breathing organization or organisms. Our responsibility, as it tells us, to pray with urgency that the lost might be saved, because those lost are just like piles of dead bones all over the place. And when we preach to them, when they understand about the Spirit of God, they will be saved. May God give us eyes to see the condition of the lost. We need to hear their cries. We need to feel their heart, to feel their pain. May he help us to see them. When we pray, it's not the arithmetic of our prayers, not the number of prayers, nor the rhetoric of the prayers, how eloquent they are, nor the geometry of our prayers, how long they are, nor the logic of our prayers, how argumentative they are. God, if you do this, then you'll do that. Or the music of our prayer, how sweet our voices may be in our prayers. The fervency of spirit and innocent prayers from the heart is what is important. God will understand even the simplest and the most basic prayers. Don't worry about it. God understands your heart. It doesn't have to have beautiful words. Well, God brought those dead bones to life. They were brought to life because he breathed on them. Even though the skin and bones came together, they were lifeless until God breathed upon them. The new birth is a supernatural event that happens to everybody who accepts Jesus. It becomes a supernatural event. I see it happening right here, right in our church. It's a mighty event. I see people come into our church, and I'm not going to pick you out. I see people come into our church whose lives have been changed by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, by the blessing of the love of Christ, by the blessing of the power of God. God brought them to life. Those dead bones, he put them together and then he had them stand in front of him. He caused them to stand in front of him. There are no unwanted people in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is a place of witness and work for each of us who are led by the Holy Spirit. That's what the church is all about. The church, you and me, all of you, every one of you is one of the priesthood of believers, have a mission for the dead. For those men who are dead in the church must seek them out and come up to them and say, you know, you need to have life, and you do it in your own way, in your own, and with your own heart. Then, like the bones of Ezekiel's vision, these dead shall live. The question is, are you a volunteer for Christ who allows him to use your gifts for the mission of finding lost men and women in this world? Each one of us in our own way must reach out to proclaim life to the dead. And then what God did, he took those bones, put them together, breathed life into them, stood them in front of him, and they were an exceedingly great army. He took nothing. He took desolation. He took bones that were worthless and made them into a great army for him, a mighty living army ready to be used for the Lord's use. So never think that you're worthless, because everybody is more worth, has much more worth than a pile of dry bones, and God can do so much for you. God brings his people out of the deadness of sin to new life in Christ. Same is true for our church. The days of God's blessings are not over. God does mighty things in this world as he did thousands of years ago. He does it all the time. The times of refreshing are not passed by forever. They're still the same with God. He has been, and he's still working in a supernatural, sovereign way that he controls our life to accomplish his will in this world. We need to see the Lord today to ask him to give us a vision of the lost as they really are. When you see a person who's lost, you need to, in your own way, in your own time, reach out to them by the way you live, by the way you speak, to fill us with the Spirit and to send us into the world to tell us about Jesus Christ. When you look at the world, what do you see? I must confess I sometimes become angry when I see the world because it's so difficult to reach the people. I see things people do. I hear things people say. I notice the way they live their life, and I see the hatred they had for God and for the gospel. And worst of all, very often I see the way I live my life. Imperfect, full of sin, prone to listen to the devil. You know, the devil made me do it. Prone to ignore God's love. And many times I look at myself and I say, I am a mess. Those things bother me, and they should bother all of you. But people in this church cared enough to pray for me. And that's why we're still here after 9 years. Without that prayer, we wouldn't be here for 9 years, that's for sure. At least I can do is to ask the Lord to give me the same compassion to others as he has given to me. That's so important. Let God give compassion to others as he has given to you. The compassionate Lord has forgiven me my sins. We need to take that example in our heart and in our lives. Forgive us, free us, lifts us up, and loosens us from the bond of unforgiveness. The bond of unforgiveness is so important. And God will release us from that. What a God we have. What a God we have.